You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Today we're getting to know three of the nine candidates for Wilmington City Council. There are three open seats. We will meet the other candidates next week. Joining us now is James Ray. He is Associate Minister of Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church in Wilmington, after retiring from a nearly 30-year career with the U.S. Postal Service. He received an honorable discharge after 5.5 years of service in the Air Force. He has volunteered with Coastal Horizons, and he's served on the Drug Prevention Council. James Ray, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And you can ask your own question of our candidates during this live Wednesday interview. Either give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us today at coastline@whqr.org. James Ray, there are so many people vying for three open seats, nine. Mm-hmm. Nine candidates. That's a lot of people, so much competition this year. What brought you into the race?
Well, I was motivated mostly by the Women's March. I also had some interest in doing something to help Wilmington because I love the city. After the election last year, and I worked for the DNC as a canvas captain, and I felt a need to do something. And so after praying about it and reflecting on my life, in January, when I seen the Women's March, that just energized me. And I decided I'm going to run for office. And I looked into the offices in Wilmington and seen that the city council was open. So I threw my hat in the ring.
And here you are. I want to talk about something that you said on another radio show. You were talking with John and Pam mm-hmm. on their morning show, and you said that you want to bring more love to the community. The timing of that is interesting. There was an effort in UNCW's Watson School of Education. They recently produced a large mural in response to the violence in Charlottesville, a Radical Love Project, I think they called it, and they are now trying to turn that into a series of lectures. How do you come at that issue, and what do you mean by bringing more love into the community?
Well, the base foundation for my campaign is the ability to spread truth and love, to combat fear and hate. One of the problems that I've seen in observing Wilmington these last 6 years that I've lived here was that we are stuck in the past, and we are stuck based on fear and hate, and there's no trust. Especially, the citizenry does not trust political leaders. So in order to combat fear and hate, truth and love will do that. And truth will cause you to move. After the Women's March and seeing the resistance movement starting, truth is what energizes this march to resist the negativism, the hate, and the fear. So my campaign is based on spreading truth, transparency, and then using that truth that we believe in to move into love.
Is there a specific element of truth, a specific way that you feel our current leadership are not being fully transparent or fully truthful? What areas do we need to bring truth to?
Well, information releasing is an area. We, the political leaders, they don't release information in a timely fashion, and they don't give the public an opportunity to respond to the information before decisions are made. That's one area.
Can you give us a specific example of where you've seen that happen here?
Well, just yesterday at the meeting for the library.
The Project Grace meeting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the information did not get out in time before the commission had selected four different ideas. And now that the public has received this and found out about it, the public is upset. And they wanted to know why didn't we know this beforehand, before you made these choices? Even though nothing has been chosen and it's still open, but public people that are motivated, that are involved, that are politically active, want to know well beforehand so that they can have their say in their input.
You have said that you want to remove the Confederate statues in the city of Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
And we know this has been part of not just a local debate, but a national debate in terms of how various communities are handling this. That currently is, of course, beyond the scope of what a city council member can do, because state law requires an act of the General Assembly. But still, if you didn't have to move the General Assembly, if you could just take control of that issue, what would you do with those statues? How do you think they should be handled?
Well, it's more than just statues and the monuments. The real reason for them, the bottom line, is this issue is about systematic racism and bigotry. The statues and the monuments doesn't do anything except establish the fear and hate, and it gives people it causes them to, when they see them, to get agitated, to get upset. So we have to deal with the bottom line issue. Just removing the statues and the monuments is not dealing with it. We have to deal with the bottom line, systematic racism and bigotry that goes on across our nation.
And I think there are a lot of people who would probably agree with you that it goes on in this community. This is a divided community, and it's a majority white community. How can leaders go about dismantling this kind of currently present racism and bigotry? What can people do?
Leaders have to express the need for us to get to know one another. One of the problems that happen with racism and bigotry is prejudice. Prejudice is nothing more than prejudging a person that you don't know. So when the people can come together and know what a black person is about, know what the white people are about, and get to know them and not judge them, but work with them, understand them, and hear their point of view about the different things. When we know each other, when we learn each other, some of that racism will just evaporate. But it has to be done in truth. We do a lot of hiding, a lot of lying, and we don't want people to actually know how we are. But if we open up and let people know who we are and what we're about, I've seen and I've experienced that in dealing with different races. When people learn who I am and what I'm about, the walls come down and we can relate to one another in a pleasant way.
Well, call us out for a minute. How do we do the hiding and the lying specifically?
Well, we do it because we're selfish. We want our lives and we want our rights. We want to be right and we want to live our lives for ourselves and not live a life that is beneficial for others. No man is an island. You're going to have to interact with other people. And when you interact, are you going to do it to benefit others as well as yourself? In fact, if you do what President Kennedy said, when he said, ask not what you can do for yourself, but what you can do for one another, it benefits you more than being selfish. When you reach out and apply true love, it benefits you greatly.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Right now we're talking with James Ray, who is seeking a seat on Wilmington City Council. You can ask your own question during this live Wednesday discussion by calling us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. Chase from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm calling because I'm deeply concerned about the level of development that's been going on in Wilmington. There's been an inordinate amount of apartments going up, housing going up, and just this year alone, they've got at least 1,000 more residences set. Now, I've been told that there are three new developments taking place on Carolina Beach Road between the 3,000 and the 5,000 block.
Okay, I need you to get to your question. What's your question for James Ray?
Okay. What I want to know is why are they building subsidized housing blocks, creating poverty in specific areas, as opposed to creating a situation where all the builders have to offer a certain percentage of subsidized housing within the buildings so that we have diversity in the schools and we have diversities in the community instead of creating what we used to call projects.
Okay, James Ray, let's let James Ray answer. Thank you so much for your call.
Yes, Saturday I went on a tour with the Cape Fear Housing Coalition, and it was a tour on affordable housing. And this tour was impressive, it was informative, and it was great. We went to different locations, and this coalition is working together to develop affordable housing in the city. And there's different organizations and groups. A lot of them are nonprofit. A lot of them receive grants and funding from the government, state, federal, and city government. And it's developing housing that are affordable. I think the affordable housing issue is one of the issues that we need to work on, because we need to have affordable housing for workers, for retirees, for those on fixed income, and for disabled citizens, and not just for those that are looking to have condos and high-level apartments and houses.
In 2015, the Star News published an examination of the 10 highly populated cities in North Carolina and found that of those cities, only Wilmington had at-large seats on city council with no districts. This year, more than half of the current council lives in one precinct. Do you think there's an argument to be made for creating districts? Do you feel with the current configuration of council, everyone is well represented in the city?
I feel that we need districts when instead of the at-large voting for city council, they have proper representation of all citizens. Seeing that the location of the city council presently, it to me does not seem like everybody is fully represented. And when we elect political leaders based on districts, then we can have overall representation.
You worked in the New York Police Department, not as a police officer, as a civilian. What did you learn there, and what lessons can you bring to Wilmington? And do you see a conflict between, say, Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter?
I not only worked with the city police department. I was a security police specialist for the Air Force, and I am pro-police, but I'm also pro-civilian security, safety, and the ability to have community policing. I brought that up in the briefing with Chief Evangelist, and he expressed how much Wilmington is doing, Wilmington Police Department is doing to establish community policing, and I acknowledge that. But one of the problems we have, we have to establish community policing not only in those neighborhoods that are considered crime-ridden neighborhoods, but establish them in all neighborhoods and establish the, let it be known and broadcast how good of job that the police department is doing and can do. A lot of Black people don't trust police because the first thing they think about when they see a police car is, I'm going to be arrested.
Is that warranted here?
Community policing? Or
well, the distrust that exists in Black communities.
Yeah, it's here in Wilmington in Black communities. And that's something that the police department is working on and they can work on. And the police chief, he assured me that this is something that they have in the future plans of Wilmington Police Department.
And that's the time that we have. James Ray, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. When we come back from this break, Perry Fisher will join us. He's running for a seat on Wilmington City Council. You can call with your questions during the live Wednesday show at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.